Wow, it is such a nice day. Thank you for coming on this little walk with me. I can't believe just last week it was freezing, it was like snowing. Now it's like there's flowers everywhere, dandelions everywhere. There's people swimming in the river over there. It's crazy. Weird temperature stuff going on. Oh, so, what's new? I feel stupid asking that because this is probably the only time in living memory where people, where everybody on the planet has the same news in their life. Well, let's see. There's a pandemic and I can't leave my house. So, yeah. How are you doing? But no, that's the thing. I'm not actually just, you know, shutting down pandemic malaise. No. I've been doing stuff. Yeah, I've been well, two types of things. I kind of do two types of things. One is kind of work-related-ish, where what I do is I think about new projects and new things that I'm thinking of trying. I've been really interested in hypnosis more lately, and not just erotic hypnosis, no, but actually therapeutic, like hypnotherapy, I should say. That's probably the better way of putting it. Because I find it's a really fascinating thing. I tend to like fringe kind of things. I like things that can be a little bit misunderstood, or people have the wrong impression of, like sex. But no, like hypnotherapy. You say hypno anything, and people think of those stage hypnotists, you know, in Las Vegas, where they get you to bark like a dog and stuff. This is bullshit. This is complete bullshit. But that's what people think, right? Or they think it's like mind control. Or if you watch TV, you know, they supposedly hypnotize you and then you go back to a past life, or just nonsense, right? Complete nonsense. But what I do find interesting is that at its root, there's actually something there. There's actually something interesting going on here, which is that your mind really has this amazing imaginative power, and it kind of goes into different like patterns, kind of, you know, like brainwaves, basically. If you look at what we do when we sleep, we go through like five different stages of brainwaves. We cycle through these all night. So if you put electrodes on a sleeping person's head, you can actually see the tracings, and they change, you know, alpha waves, beta waves, theta waves, things like that. REM, yeah. REM sleep, dreaming, you know, kind of stuff. And so we go through this all night long into these different patterns. And what people began to notice was that it's not just when we sleep that our brains can do this. And one of the coolest things for me is, like, you know, I call it hypnagogy. Very technical term. Hypnagogy. Yeah. That's G-O-G-G-Y. Hypnagogy. This is the thing. You're just kind of awake in the morning. You're not quite awake yet. You're kind of groggy, and maybe that's where I got goggy from. Hypnagogy. And in this phase, this like weird kind of half sleep, half wakefulness, suddenly you like think of a solution to a problem that's been bugging you, like at work. Some issue came up at work and it's been bugging you for weeks. And then one morning you're half awake and you go, boom, yay, I have it, you know. or you remember where you left your phone. You've been, you know, missing your phone for 3 days and you can't remember where you put it, and you're just racking your brain trying to figure out where your phone is. And then you wake up one morning and you're like, oh fuck, that's where it is, right? Yes, I say oh fuck in my hypnagogy. My hypnagogy is very potty mouth. Yeah. yeah, that's like an alpha wave. That's an alpha wave state. Your brain is in alpha wave, the patterns of alpha wave. Yeah. And it's a different kind of creative. It's a very creative, imaginative space, I guess, for lack of a better word. And it's kind of like when you daydream. You know, you kind of wig out for a minute. You ever had that? You're sitting somewhere, you're in an office, and your eyes kind of glaze over. It's so creepy when you see somebody do that, right? You look at them and their eyes are just like glassed and just, they look like a zombie. And you're like, hey, Joe, you know? And they just kind of go, what? You know? That's kind of that daydreamy kind of, that's like an alpha wave thing that we go in and out of these all day, apparently. These patterns in our brains, these waves. And somebody at some point figured out that you can actually put yourself into this stage if you try. And at that point, if you were to listen to suggestions that are helpful, positive, imaginative, creative, like visualization, you know, that you can actually kind of, you're much more receptive to these ideas. You're much more like, oh, that would be, yeah, of course it's awesome. Yeah, I can quit smoking. I don't need to smoke, you know, or whatever. And it's actually been somewhat successful as a kind of a therapy for people. I know, personally, speak from experience, I was afraid of flying for 20 years. Couldn't get on a plane. I'd had a bad experience when I was away from home and I had to fly home. And I sort of conflated the bad experience with the flight. And and I couldn't fly. I couldn't even watch planes taking off. It was that bad. And I knew that I wanted to come to Ireland. And I thought, I can't just booze myself up on the plane, right? As much as I'd love to. I mean, why not just be unconscious for the whole thing, right? I knew, okay, but I can't even get on the plane. I can't even book a ticket without practically having a panic attack. So I've got to do something about this. And I was reading books on fear of flying, and I came across this thing about self-hypnosis. Because in all hypnosis, you are putting yourself into this different stage, this kind of trance, if you want to call it. But in self-hypnosis, you can actually kind of desensitize yourself through visualization and imagination, and you can just imagine yourself getting on a plane and it being okay. And I thought, okay, well, what the hell? What the fuck? And I got this this doctor in England who was releasing these tracts of hypnosis for fear flying. And I did it for about half an hour a day. I just lay down on my bed and I put my headphones on and I just listened. And after about a couple of weeks of doing this, I started to think, yeah, I think I can do this. And I was able to book the ticket and go to the airport. And I was scared. I'm not going to say, I wasn't like some Valium zombie, just, oh, everything's great. I was scared, but I could do it. That was the difference. Whereas I couldn't do it before. And I got on the plane and everything was fine. And I've been flying all over the place ever since. And so I think the thing for me is that that's a powerful thing. I cured my own phobia just by listening to some kind of spacey music and a nice, quiet, soothing voice, helping me relax my body and breathe deeply and very gently visualize doing the thing that I was afraid of, or whatever the case, whatever you want, you know. You want to feel better about yourself, have more confidence. You want to, you know, stop smoking or eat healthy or do more exercise or whatever, you know. So that's what made me start thinking about it and looking into it. Long story short, aren't you glad you asked? So I was thinking that, I mean, very early on in my erotic career, I started incorporating hypnosis, and it's probably the most popular thing I do. But I've been starting to think recently, maybe I should, like, okay, the only drawback I find with a lot of hypnosis things that I've found recently is that I'm sure that people know what they're doing, but their delivery is so bad. They don't seem to pay any attention to the fact that you have to have, like, soft, soothing, you know, I don't think they induce people long enough. I think they kind of try to make it really quick. And so anyway, these are just my observations. And I thought, maybe I should sort of do my own, like, general hypnosis. Like, actual... Here, let's sit down for a minute. You know, like, do my own hypnosis series for, like, just general stuff. What do you think? Because I think it could help people, and I like helping people. Anyway, that's just one thing I've been looking at. I've been actually looking at a training course to learn the proper techniques and make sure, you know, I'm doing everything right, kind of thing. So I might do that. That's a kind of a new thing, that new direction for me, maybe. Or adding a direction. I tend to add things. Do you notice that about me? I tend to add things to my life. I don't drop one thing before I take on something else. I just add it into the mix. But that's okay. Yeah. It is hot today. It's unbelievable. And there's, like, not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful day for flying. Huh? Yeah, too bad I can't go anywhere. I've also been doing a bit of watercolor painting. That's the fun part. This part was like career part. Now it's just fun part. I'm just doing watercolor painting. I'm terrible at it, and I don't care. I'm not an artist. That's one thing I know about myself. I'm not an artist. Of all the things I do, I'm not an artist. I just don't have that gift. But once you know that about yourself, you can just enjoy it. So I've been doing my... getting all messy with my watercolors and stuff, and it's fun. Just go outside and paint the cherry blossoms outside. It's kind of nice. Yeah. What about you? Have you been thinking about any new directions? Or... Yeah, we can keep walking. I think it's good to challenge yourself a little bit, even if it's nothing rides on it, just something fun you're doing, something different. Like I'm doing like crime fiction now as well as my romance. Yeah. Started with my Dr. Davidson thing. I really just did that for fun because I was stuck in one of my chapters, and I just thought, I like writing. I feel like writing today, but I don't feel like writing my novel. So I just started writing this 1930s Agatha Christie type thing. And I had a ball. I really enjoyed it. So I've written another short story There's a contest thing I'm going to be entering to maybe be part of an anthology of crime writers and stuff, so. I think something that I've learned is just not to put so much, not to place so much importance on everything. Just try things. It's like when I tried kayaking once. Did I ever tell you about kayaking? I tried kayaking. Oh my God. I when I was living in Ontario, I lived in a town that had this little creek. Very nice creek. This nice little kind of swampy area called Coots Paradise. Right near McMaster University. And I would see people sometimes driving home. I'd see some people in kayaks in this place. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. Look at that. Look at how they're gliding through the water. And it's very peaceful. And so... So I went out and I got this big red plastic kayak. This big thing. I went out and bought it. I did. I spent a lot of money on it. I shouldn't have, but I bought this kayak and these oars and these like a life jacket things. And in Ontario, you had to have all these. There's all these rules about you had to have a whistle on board, which is great. So I could go buy a whistle. Here's my whistle. And you had to have rope and you had to have something else or something else you had to have. And this is the law, right? And in your water vehicle, you had to have these things. So I have this little container at the front where I put all my stuff. And so I go down to this portion of the creek where they could put the kayaks in. And I can't get in the kayak. I'm looking at it like, I have no idea how to get in this kayak. How do you get in to a kayak? Have you ever thought about that? How does one get into a kayak? It's just got a little hole there for you, right? It's not like a rowboat or whatever where you can actually kind of just step into it off a dock. This is like, there's no dock, first of all, and then there's just this little hole. So... there were actually some people there who were sort of giving lessons, and I just said them, how do you know, swallow my pride. Hello, I'm new. How do you get into these things? So they showed me, basically. You do kind of wedge it up against the shore and sort of step in. And then here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. This is the moment of truth where you actually have to sit yourself down. You have to get your ass into the kayak. And I tell you, it's not as easy as it looks. I ended up doing this kind of, I just sort of fell into it. I just collapsed into it. That's all I could do. Like, whoosh. I mean, I felt ridiculous. I did. I felt ridiculous. The canoe's rocking. It's not a canoe. The kayak is rocking. And I was never so embarrassed in my life. But anyway, there, I'm inside. I'm in the kayak. Great. And I got my oar and I got my I got this waterproof pouch that I could put my phone in and everything's great. And so off I go. And I'm moving down. It's lovely. It is lovely. It's peaceful. And after about like 10 minutes, my arms are on fire because I am not used to this at all, this kind of constant rowing sort of thing. So I'm just sort of drifting down into this swampy area. Like, my arms are sore. I don't know where I am. I'm kind of lost. I'm sitting here in this little floating red thing. And I'm just thinking, this isn't peaceful. I don't feel the zen. I'm not feeling the zen. I'm not feeling the peace. What the hell is happening? This is not... What am I doing wrong? So I realized quite quickly that kayaking looks very peaceful, but it's only peaceful if you're in great shape, which I certainly wasn't then, and I'm not now. Takes a real lot of work to get that thing to go where you want it to go. I was bashing that into logs and trees and getting it stuck under things, and I was so glad to get back to the shore and just, you know, because then you got to get out, right? So you got to try to wedge it up. I feel like I'm a like a dolphin beaching itself, you know. And finally got the thing up there and got out, and I feel like I'm made of rubber. My whole body feels like I'm made of rubber. So yeah, I tried it a couple more times thinking, okay, maybe I'll get better at it, and I really didn't. Plus I had to strap it to my car. I just had this little Mazda, and I had to kind of have this thing kind of, it was ridiculous. I couldn't keep it anywhere, so I sold it. I sold the kayak. But, and I did have a point here. I did. The point was, I tried it. I didn't expect to be an Olympic kayaker. I didn't expect that kayaking was going to be my thing now. I just wanted to try it. And I'm glad I did, because now it's out of my system. Never going to do that again. But I tried it, and I didn't expect anything. I think that's the big thing, right? You just try things you're interested in. And don't have this kind of expectation that you have to be good at it. It's like me and my watercolors. I suck. I know I suck. Maybe I'll get better. Maybe I won't. It doesn't really matter. But I've seen people like that, that they're so serious about everything. It has to be, they have to be so good at it the minute they do it. like a pottery class. I took a pottery class, and some people, they would try that wheel thing. And if you've ever tried the wheel thing with clay, oh my God. Some people make it look so easy. You know, this beautiful spinning wheel and this lump of clay, and it's wet, and it gets to spin, and they just put their little finger on it, and suddenly like a beautiful vase kind of whoop, you know, appears, and you're just like, wow, that's very cool, I can do that. Well, I can promise you, nope, it's not nearly as easy as it looks. And there were some people in my class that, because they, you know, they get on the wheel and they start turning the wheel, and their clay flings across the room and sticks to the wall and slides down the wall, you know, because that happened the first time they tried the wheel, they refused to go on the wheel again, and they were just taking it way too seriously, you know. Or then they would maybe make a little thing with their clay, and then they would fire it in the kiln, and then it would come back and they'd paint it, and the paint job didn't turn out great. So then they just stopped coming to class because their paint job wasn't good. And it's like, don't be so serious, you know? Don't take it so seriously. It's a general interest pottery course in your local high school gym or something. Like, you don't need to strive all the time, you know? I guess that's what I'm getting at, you know? You don't need to try so hard all the time. That's burnout time, you know? You don't need to be an expert at everything or know how to do everything, you know? It's okay to suck. Take it from me. I cracked myself up. Yes, it's very okay to suck. Mm-hmm. It's good to suck. Very good. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. Bad watercolors, biking, hypnotherapy, crime fiction. Enjoying the sunshine. It's not exactly a full life, but I am still working and doing my sites and all the stuff that I do, and all my work. But I am trying to make the best of, I'm trying to appreciate what I have and make the best of things. I hope you are too. But I know you are, because you're out for a walk with me. So that's a good sign. It's a good start. Oh, I'm listening to podcasts too. Podcasts are pretty cool. You can pretty much find anything you're interested in. Somebody's made a podcast about it. So it's kind of neat to go and look through them and see. Maybe even start your own, maybe, you know? If there's something you like, you can be guaranteed that at least a few hundred other people like it too around the world. So, you know, go for it. But there's one I was listening to about what it was like to live in ancient times, like in Egypt and Greece and Rome. And not just from the perspective of the pharaohs and the emperors and stuff, which we kind of know about that because we hear about that a lot. But this was more about just the average everyday person. It's fascinating stuff, how they lived. And like in Egypt, they didn't have any money, really. We see all this gold stuff in Egypt, you know, every time they open up a tomb, it's everything's gold and, you know. But there wasn't actually any money. Everything was like work in kind. So if you were a tradesman, you'd get paid in grain or whatever. It's just if you did a lot of work, you'd get a lot of grain, and you could you could trade that grain for something else, you know. So it was like barter plus system, you know. So yeah, it's interesting because we haven't really changed much in 5,000 years. Not really. I mean, we know that like places like Rome were incredibly brutal. I mean, wow. And Sparta and stuff, like that movie 300. And, you know, I mean, holy shit, this was real. These people were tough sons of bitches. You know what I mean? Like, tougher than anybody alive today, for sure. And that was just the grandmothers, you know? But, you know, at the same time, there'd be like love poems written to a guy's wife, or a letter. Well, he's on campaign somewhere, he writes a letter in Latin, you know, saying, I miss you so much, and can't wait to get home, and hope to see you on your birthday. You know, just like, this is like written by some centurion, like 3,000 years ago. It's kind of cool. So, that's a little glimpse into my world. Oh, yeah. And the game shows. I'm watching the game shows, too. Price is Right, Bob Barker. And Family Feud, Richard Dawson. And sometimes Match Game from the 70s with Betty White, because I love Betty White. Oh, my God. Who doesn't love Betty White? I want to be Betty White. And, it's just kitschy and fun, stupid, and I just like it. It's relaxing. And I tried to put together an IKEA thing yesterday. Tried, being the operative word. Wow, I'm so bad at that. There's another thing I suck at, is following those instructions. And the spatial thing gets me. I never know which way the drawing is actually referring to, and so I put things in the wrong hole. And everything I say is innuendo. But yeah, I did finally get to put it together after about 5 hours. So it's so weird being in a pandemic when you can just online shop at the same time, like. It's weird, isn't it? Like, all I'm doing is shopping. I'm just buying stuff. It's weird. It's hard to feel like it's a zombie apocalypse when you've got next day delivery from Amazon. You know? But anyway, that's old news. It's almost been a year since I've been back here. Since my David Tittenborough. I was probably doing David Tittenborough this time last year in Ontario. Yeah, with the Home Depot ins and yeah, good times. But I am glad to be back here. So, I don't know how far we've walked. I guess we should head back. I want to hear about you. I want you to tell me what's going on with you. Let's just stand for a second. The sun on our faces, it's nice. Come here, give me a hug. spending this time with you. We can do it again soon.